Via sensory input from our environment through our eyes, the pineal gland makes serotonin and melatonin. This visible light coming from the sun causes us to move into harmony with our environment, which we call the circadian rhythm. As a result of this process, serotonin and melatonin carry information equal to the frequency coming from the physical world. Because we perceive visible light through our senses, those molecules are inherent to humans. Thus, they are equivalent to the realm of our three-dimensional reality. Remember, as Einstein said, that the ceiling of this material world is the speed of light. But what happens as the brain processes an increase in frequency and information from a realm beyond the senses and beyond the speed of light? Is it possible that information and energy coming from the unified field change the chemistry of melatonin to become another chemical counterpart in the brain? And could our brain translate those frequencies into a message? If energy is the epiphenomenon of matter, it makes sense that the information coming from a frequency faster than visible light would be able to alter the molecular structure of melatonin into profound elixirs within our brain. The pineal gland is responsible for translating that information into a chemical variation of melatonin. Therefore, that molecule carries a different message equal to that frequency. That new frequency is now influencing an enhanced superchemical. That's no longer natural, that's supernatural. Melatonin gets an upgrade. Not only does this phosphorescent, bioluminescent chemical increase the energy in the brain, but it enhances the imagery the mind internally perceives, so that everything looks as though it's made of vivid, surreal, luminescent light. As a result, people have reported experiencing colors they've never seen before because they exist outside their known experience of the visible light spectrum. These colors appear as profound, otherworldly, glowing lights in a technicolor, lucid, opalescent world of suspended beauty. Everything appears as if it's emitting beautiful light made of vivid, radiant energy that you can feel. This world of golden, shimmering, bright halos within and around everything appears more illuminated than your sensory-based reality. And of course, it will be difficult to take your attention off all its beauty. Because all your attention is on this experience, it will seem as though you are actually there, totally present in this other world or dimension. Take a look at figure 12.10 again. Alter melatonin one more time and you produce the chemical dimethyltryptamine, DMT, one of the most powerful hallucinogenic substances known to man. This is the same chemical found in ayahuasca, a traditional spiritual plant medicine used in ceremonies by the indigenous people of the Amazon. DMT's primary active ingredient is said to create spiritual visions and profound insights into the mystery of the self. When ayahuasca or other plant chemicals containing this molecule are ingested, the body receives only DMT. But when the pineal gland is activated, it receives the whole blend of aforementioned chemicals, and this causes some very profound inner experiences. Some of these experiences have been reported to create profound time dilation. Time appears infinite. Time travel. Journeys to paranormal realms. Visions of complex geometric patterns. Encounters with spiritual beings. And other mystical interdimensional realities. Many of our students during the pineal gland meditation report amazing encounters beyond their known physical world. When these chemicals are released in the brain, The mind has experiences that appear more real than anything that person has ever encountered in their sensory-based reality. This new dimension is difficult to articulate with language. The novel experience that results will occur as a complete unknown. And if you surrender to it, it's always worth it. Tuning in to higher dimensions. The pineal gland as a transducer. Depending on the translation you're using, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 22, Jesus said, "If thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light." I believe he was talking about activating the pineal gland, because this allows us to experience a broader spectrum of reality. Many of our students can attest to the fact that when their pineal gland becomes activated, when they fully connect with the unified field, their whole body becomes filled with energy and light. Beginning from the cosmic field, energy from beyond their senses enters through the top of their head and travels down throughout their whole body. When this occurs, they experience downloadable information beyond their memory base or the predictable knowns of their daily lives. And it all begins with the chemical alteration of melatonin in the pineal gland. In all of my research about the pineal gland, I've evolved my own understanding of it into the following definition. The pineal gland is a crystalline superconductor that sends, as well as receives, information through the transduction of energetic vibrational signals, frequency beyond the senses, also known as the quantum field, and translates it into biological tissue, the brain and the mind, in the form of meaningful imagery, the same way as an antenna translates different channels onto a TV screen. When the pineal gland is activated, because you now have this tiny antenna in your brain, the higher the frequency it picks up, the more energy it exerts towards altering and transmuting the chemistry of melatonin. As a result of this change in chemistry, you're going to get a very different experience from what melatonin normally produces. Perhaps a better way to say it is that you're going to get a clearer picture. Think of it this way. The higher the frequency, the more your experience will feel like you've gone from the picture of a 1960s television screen to a 360-degree IMAX 3D experience, complete with surround sound. Melatonin, the dreaming neurotransmitter, evolves into a more powerfully lucid neurotransmitter to make our dreams more real. Throughout this process, the pineal gland has a co-conspirator called the pituitary gland. The pituitary gland looks like a pear, and it sits behind the bridge of the upper nose, right in the middle of the brain. The front, anterior, part of it is responsible for making most of the chemicals that influence the glands and hormones associated with each of our energy centers. Once the pineal gland is activated and it releases certain upgraded metabolites, the back, posterior, of the pituitary gland awakens, causing it to produce two important chemicals, oxytocin and vasopressin. The first chemical, oxytocin, is known to produce elevated emotions that cause your heart to swell with love and joy. It's been referred to as the chemical of emotional connection or the bonding hormone. When oxytocin levels are elevated above normal, most people experience intense feelings of love, forgiveness, compassion, joy, wholeness, and empathy. Not an inner state you'd probably be willing to trade for something outside of you. These states are, after all, the beginning of unconditional love. When oxytocin levels go up beyond a certain level, research shows that it's difficult to hold a grudge. In a study conducted by scientists at the University of Zurich, 49 participants played a variation of what is known as the trust game 12 consecutive times. In this game, an investor with a certain amount of money must decide either to keep it or to share some of it with another player called the trustee. Whatever sum the investor shares with the trustee is automatically tripled. The trustee is then faced with a decision: keep all the money, leaving the investor with nothing, or share the tripled sum with the investor, who is obviously hoping to make a profit. Basically, the either-or decision comes down to betrayal. While a selfish act is a win for the trustee, it leaves the investor at a loss. But what if oxytocin is introduced into the equation? In the study, the researchers gave some players a squirt of oxytocin in their nose before the game, giving the others a squirt of placebo. The researchers then took fMRI, functional magnetic resonance imaging, scans of the investors' brains as they made their decisions regarding the amount to invest and whether or not to trust. After the first 6 rounds, the investors were given feedback on their investments and were notified that their trust had been betrayed about half of the time. The participants who received the placebo before playing the game felt angry and betrayed, so they invested much less in the closing 6 rounds. The participants who received a squirt of oxytocin, however, invested the same amount as they had in the first rounds, despite having been betrayed. The fMRI scan showed the key areas of the brain affected were the amygdala, associated with fear, anxiety, stress, and aggression, and the dorsal striatum, which guides future behaviors based on positive feedback. Participants who received the oxytocin had much lower activity in the amygdala, equating to less anger and fear of being betrayed again, as well as less fear of financial loss. They also had much lower activity in the dorsal striatum, meaning they no longer needed to rely on positive results to make future decisions. As this study demonstrates, the moment the posterior pituitary releases its chemicals and oxytocin levels go up, this shuts down the survival centers in the brain's amygdala, meaning it cools off the circuits for fear, sadness, pain, anxiety, aggression, and anger. Then the only thing we feel is a love for life. We've measured the levels of oxytocin in our students before and after our workshops. At the conclusion of the event, some of them had elevated their levels significantly. When we interviewed those students, many of them kept saying, "I'm just so in love with my life and everyone in it. I never want this feeling to go away. I want to remember this feeling forever. This is who I really am." The other chemical the pituitary gland makes as the pineal gland is activated is called vasopressin, or antidiuretic hormone. As vasopressin levels go up, the body naturally retains fluids, causing the body to become more water-based. This is important because if you're going to process a greater frequency, you need water to act as a conduit to better handle the higher frequency in the body, and to then translate that frequency into your cells. The moment vasopressin goes up, it creates a more stable thyroid gland, which affects the thymus and the heart, which affects the adrenals, which affects the pancreas, which produces a chain cascade of positive effects all the way down to the sexual organs. When we tune in to these higher frequencies, we have access to a different kind of light, a frequency faster than visible light, and all of a sudden we are activating a greater intelligence within us. Now, because the pineal gland is activated, we can pick up higher frequencies, which in turn produces a change in chemistry. The higher the frequency we pick up, the more it alters our chemistry, which means the more visual, hallucinogenic, and higher energy experiences we have. The crystals in our pineal gland, acting like a cosmic antenna, are the doorway to these higher vibrational realms of light and information. This is how we have internal experiences that are more real than our external ones. These pineal metabolite chemicals your body produces fit into the same receptor sites as serotonin and melatonin. But they carry a very different chemical message from a realm beyond sensory-based material reality. As a result, the brain is now primed for a mystical experience, opening the door to other dimensions and moving the individual from space-time reality to a time-space reality. Since all frequency carries a message, and that message is a change in chemistry, once the pineal gland gets activated and you start experiencing and processing these higher frequencies, energies, and elevated levels of consciousness, they often present themselves as complex, changing, geometric patterns, usually perceived in the mind's eye. This is good. This is information. When you have these mystical experiences, because your nervous system is so coherent, it's able to tune in to these super coherent messages. In the darkness of the void, the pineal gland becomes the vortex for these very organized patterns and packets of information. And as you place your attention on them, just like a kaleidoscope, they constantly change and evolve. The same way a TV picks up frequencies and turns them into pictures on the screen, the pineal gland chemically transduces higher frequencies into vivid, surreal images. In graphic 13 in the color insert, you can see some of these geometric patterns which are called divine or sacred geometry. Such patterns have been around for thousands of years. In Chapter 8, I mentioned that these patterns appear to look like ancient mandalas. They're energy and information in the form of frequency. And if you can surrender to them, your brain, via the pineal gland, will transduce those forms, messages, and information into very vivid pictures, imagery, or lucid experiences. The best thing to do when you see or experience these patterns is to surrender to them, and not try to make anything happen. These patterns and forms usually do not appear as two-dimensional or static. Instead, they are alive, have depth, and comprise mathematical and very coherent fractal patterns, never-ending and infinitely complex. Another way to see this is through the concept of cymatics. Derived from the Greek word for wave, cymatics are a phenomenon based on vibration or frequency. Here's a way to picture them. Imagine if you took the cover off an old speaker box and laid it flat. If you filled that speaker with fluid, shined a light on it, and began playing classical music up through it, the frequency and vibration of the music would eventually create coherent standing waves. These waves would interfere with each other and eventually create geometric patterns within patterns within patterns. As with a kaleidoscope, you would see these evolving geometric arrangements become more highly organized. The difference between the images in the kaleidoscope and cymatics is that the images in the kaleidoscope appear two-dimensional. Geometric patterns such as cymatics, however, appear to be alive and are three-dimensional or even multi-dimensional. In addition to water, the vibrational effects of cymatics are translatable to sand and air. In other words, these three mediums pick up vibration and frequency and turn them into coherent geometric patterns. If you search, you can find several videos showing this on YouTube. When your pineal gland picks up information, it's picking up these same types of waves in the environment around you. These coherent, highly organized standing waves that exist beyond the visible light spectrum are constantly being consolidated into packets of information and transduced into images by your pineal gland. They are just patterns of information that are intersecting in a very coherent way, and when you put your awareness on them, they change and evolve to become increasingly more fractal, intricate, beautiful, and divine. It's all information, and just like a transducer, your pineal gland takes that information and descrambles it into imagery. This is one of the reasons I decided to use the kaleidoscope as a tool in our advanced events, to train students' brains to be disarmed when they experience this mode of complex imagery, as well as to more easily recognize and open up to receiving this type of information. Additionally, as the kaleidoscope causes the brain to move into alpha or theta brainwaves, and you become more suggestible, you can see how gazing into it in a state of trance primes your subconscious mind for a mystical experience. Once your pineal gland picks up the imagery, fasten your seatbelts because things are going to get exciting. You might come out of your body and travel down a tunnel of light, or your entire body might become filled with light. You might even feel like you've become the entire universe. And when looking down at your body, even find yourself wondering how you're going to get back into it. When you start having these very profound, unknown experiences, you have one of two choices. You can contract in fear because it's the unknown, or you can surrender and trust because it's the unknown. The more you surrender and trust, the deeper and more profound your experiences become. And because the experience is so profound, you're not going to want to rouse yourself back to wakefulness, thereby changing your brainwaves back to beta. Instead, this is the time to surrender, relax, and go even deeper into this transcendental state of consciousness. In this moment, you are not sleeping, you are not awake, you are not dreaming. You are transcendent of this reality. If your brain chemistry is right, your body will be totally and completely sedated. This is what we are training for, to experience greater levels of wholeness, oneness, love, and higher consciousness. But there's more. Alteration in chemistry creates a new reality. Imagine if in this moment all your senses were increased by 25%. If that were the case, everything you were seeing, hearing, tasting, smelling, and feeling would cause you to become more aware of everything around you. If awareness and consciousness are the same, then as your consciousness is heightened, the energy your brain is receiving would also be increased. Because you can't have a change in consciousness without a change in energy, or vice versa. As your brain connects to a different frequency that is processing a new stream of consciousness, it is literally turning on. And because your senses feel amplified, you've produced an elevated level of awareness. The higher the energy or frequency, the greater the alteration in your chemistry. And the greater the alteration in your chemistry, the more lucid your experience will be. So when you're in this transcendental state, you feel more awake and more aware than you are in your day-to-day reality. As your awareness amplifies, you would feel as if you were truly in that transcendental reality. If you're picking up information from beyond your senses, information that is not originating from visible light or the sun, then it makes sense that it's called the third eye. Because you had such a profound internal experience, and since new experiences assemble new neural networks, that experience enriches the circuitry in your brain. As your body processes these higher energies, that energy alters your chemistry, and if the end result of an experience is an emotion, then this experience creates elevated feelings and emotions. When it's activated, you are seeing with a different eye, with inner vision. If the accumulation of feelings equals an emotion, and emotion is energy, then we know that when you experience survival emotions, because they are a lowering of frequency, you feel more like the density of matter and chemistry. But as you experience these higher states of consciousness, because they vibrate at a higher frequency, you will begin to feel less like matter or chemistry and more like energy. That's why I call this energy, in the form of feelings, elevated emotions. If the environment signals the genes in a cell, and experiences from the environment creates emotions, and emotions are the chemical feedback from the experience in the environment, then if nothing ever changes in the external environment, nothing changes in the internal environment of the body, which is still the outer environment of the cell. For example, when you live by the same self-limiting emotions for years, your body never biologically changes because it doesn't know the difference between the emotion coming from the outer environment and the emotion coming from your inner environment. Instead, the body believes it is living in the same environmental conditions because the same emotions are producing the same chemical signals. Just as the body lives in an external environment in which nothing is changing, the cell too lives in a chemical environment in which nothing is changing. But when you start having these internal experiences of heightened awareness and expanded consciousness, experiences that are more real and sensory than any in the past, the moment you feel that new heightened emotion or ecstatic energy, you've altered your internal state. And as a result, you're going to pay more attention to the images of the reality created within you. And if you have a new experience that is so real it captures all the brain's attention, that new experience, or awakening, embosses the event neurologically in your brain. That new emotion now creates a long-term memory, and those new emotions signal new genes. But this time the experience that's creating the long-term memory is not coming from your outer environment, it is coming from your inner environment, which is still the outer environment of the cell. Because the event is so powerful that you cannot not be aware, therefore, the higher the energy, the higher the consciousness. The higher the consciousness, the greater the awareness. The greater the awareness, the broader experience of reality you have. As we know, all perception is based on how the brain is wired from our experiences in the past. We don't perceive things in our reality the way they are. We perceive reality the way we are. If you just had an internal experience in which you saw profound, mystical beings, witnessed a glow, a halo, or light around everything, felt the wholeness, oneness, and interconnectedness of everything and everyone, or experienced a completely different time and space, when you open your eyes after the experience, your spectrum of reality in your waking state will be broadened. That's because the inner experience changed your brain, and now you're neurologically wired to perceive a greater expression of reality. This is how you begin to change who you are, from the inside out. This is how you alter your experience of the three-dimensional world of matter. Evolution on both an individual and a species level is a slow process. You have experiences, you get hurt, you learn your lesson, you grow a little bit. Then you have some more pain, you get the next lesson, you move on to the next challenge, you succeed and achieve goals, you set more goals, you grow again. And the cycle continues. It's a slow process because you're not receiving much new information from your outer environment. But once you have these unknown internal experiences that are more real than anything in your external world, you can never again see reality in the same manner because the experience changes you so profoundly. Another way to say it is that you receive an upgrade or a software update. If all of the reality you perceived is based on your experiences, and you've just had an interdimensional experience, your brain is now going to be able to perceive what has always existed, but you have never before had the brain circuitry to perceive. If you continuously have these expansive experiences, you'll continuously experience a broader and broader spectrum of reality. This lifts the veil of illusion. And when that veil is lifted, you can see reality as it truly is, vibrating, shining, connected, and shimmering in luminescent light. And energy is driving the whole process. You're now tuning in to a greater spectrum of information where all of a sudden everything looks and feels different than it did when you saw it simply as matter. And your relationship changes. This is how the mystics and masters made their way, by tuning into their inner world and thus broadening their perception of the nature of reality in their outer world. Imagine who you could become if you stopped living by the hallmarks of the lower three energy centers, including survival, fear, pain, separation, anger, and competition, and instead live from the heart and operate it out of love, oneness, and connection to all things, both seen and unseen. By having enough interdimensional experiences from information beyond the senses, the mystics and the masters no longer saw equal to the genes they were born with. They no longer processed things the way the brain they'd been given at birth had been wired, the way the human brain has been imprinted for thousands of years. Instead, because of their interaction with the field, they created the awareness, the circuitry, and the mind to perceive a different reality, one that's always been there. These mythic and magical properties of the pineal gland, the brain's alchemist, are certainly not new information, although it seems modern science is just now catching up to what ancient civilizations have always known. Melatonin, mathematics, ancient symbols, and the pineal gland. On July 23, 2011, a crop circle that looks very much like the chemical structure of melatonin appeared in the English countryside in Roundway near Devizes, Wiltshire. See figure 12.11. Is the crop circle an elaborate hoax? Or is somebody somewhere in another dimension trying to tell us something? As you read this section, you can decide for yourself whether such things happen by coincidence or intelligent design. The brain has two hemispheres, and if you divided them in half by slicing the brain down the middle, you would perform what is known as a sagittal cut. When looking at a sagittal cut in figure 12.12, pay particular attention to the location and collective formation of the pineal gland, thalamus, hypothalamus, pituitary gland, and corpus callosum. Does that formation remind you of anything? Meant to signify protection, power, and good health, it's the ancient Egyptian symbol called the Eye of Horus. Is it possible that there was an ancient teaching about the autonomic nervous system, the reticular activating system, the thalamic gate, and the pineal gland? The Egyptians must have known the significance of the autonomic nervous system and realized that activating the pineal gland meant they could enter the other world or other dimensions. In the Egyptian system of measurement, the Eye of Horus also represented a fractional quantification system to measure parts of the whole. In modern mathematics, we call this the Fibonacci constant, or Fibonacci sequence. As I mentioned earlier in the book, this is a mathematical formula that shows up everywhere in nature, displayed in patterns you can see in sunflowers, seashells, pineapples, pine cones, eggs, and even the structure of our Milky Way galaxy. Also known as the golden spiral, the golden mean, or the golden ratio, the Fibonacci constant is characterized by the fact that every number after the first two is the sum of the preceding two. If you superimpose this formula over the brain and began dividing squares while adding another square and another square, you'd get a fractal pattern, a never-ending pattern that repeats itself at every scale. Starting at the pineal gland, this formula outlines the exact structure of the brain. See figure 12.13. Are you beginning to think that there might be something special going on with the pineal gland? In Greek mythology, Hermes was a messenger of the gods who could move in and out of earthly and divine realms. He was considered a god of transitions and dimensions, as well as a guide to the afterlife. His main symbol was the caduceus, which consists of two snakes wrapped around a rod, the top of which unfolds into wings or birds. See figure 12.14. The caduceus, which Hermes used as a staff, is often considered a symbol of health. Do you think those snakes moving up the staff represent the movement of energy up the spine from the body to the brain? And the wings, the liberation of the self when the energy arrives at the pineal gland to signify enlightenment? The crown represents our highest potential and our greatest expression of the divine when we activate our pineal gland, represented by the pine cone. The crowning of the self is the conquering of the self. This is why I chose this image for the cover of this book. Tuning in to higher dimensions of time and space meditation. Since melatonin levels are at their height between 1 a.m. and 4 a.m., that's the best time to do this meditation. Start by activating your heart center for one song. Then bless your energy centers, starting with the lowest one, as you learned in the blessing of your energy centers meditation in Chapter 4. Bless this energy center by resting your attention first in the space of that energy center and then in the space around it. Do this for the first and then for the second energy center, and then focus your attention on the first and second center at the same time. Continue this process with each energy center, creating a bigger field by connecting each new energy center to the prior centers. Eventually, you'll align all 8 centers and the energy around your entire body simultaneously. This should take about 45 minutes. Then lie down for 20 minutes and let your autonomic nervous system take the orders to balance the body. Now sit up and do the breath, bringing that energy all the way up to the top of your head. Hold it and squeeze, compressing the crystals of the pineal gland, thus activating it and creating an electromagnetic field. That field is going to stretch as far as it can go, and then it's going to reverse and compress those crystals. As you increase the frequency, you're going to pick up higher and higher vibrational realms. And then your brain is going to take that information and turn it into imagery. One last point about this breath. I want to emphasize that it is not necessary to take a fast, deep breath and then squeeze your intrinsic muscles and then hold your breath to the point that you turn purple. Instead, I want you to take a very slow, long, steady breath, coordinating the breath with the contraction of your intrinsic muscles equally as you inhale and slowly follow that breath all the way to the top of your head. This is the fourth way you can activate the pineal gland. When you're done with the breath, rest your attention between the back of your throat and the back of your head in space. You are locating that gland, and by placing your attention there, you are placing your energy there. Keep your attention there for about 5 to 10 minutes. As a thought, an awareness, and consciousness, get really tiny and move into the chamber of the pineal gland and sense the space of that room in the center of this organ in space. Linger there for about 5 to 10 minutes. Then sense the frequency in space beyond the boundaries of the gland. radiate the energy beyond that room into the big black space. Direct that energy to carry the intention that this gland release its sacred metabolites for the mystical experience. Broadcast that information into the space beyond your head in space. Now open up. Tune into the energy beyond your head in that vast, eternal, black space, and just receive. The longer you're conscious of this energy, and the more you can receive that frequency, the more you are altering and upgrading melatonin to its radical metabolites. Don't expect anything to happen. Don't try to anticipate. Just keep receiving. Finally, lie down again and let the autonomic nervous system take over. Enjoy the scenery. Chapter 13. Project Coherence. Making a Better World. We are living in a time of extremes. And these extremes are both a reflection of an old consciousness that can no longer survive, and a future consciousness in which planet Earth herself and all of us on Earth are transforming. This old consciousness is driven by survival emotions like hatred, violence, prejudice, anger, fear, suffering, competition, and pain. Emotions that serve to seduce us into believing we are separate from one another. The illusion of separation taxes and divides individuals, communities, societies, countries, and Mother Nature herself. The mindless, careless greed and disrespect of human activity is threatening life as we know it. By pure logic and reason, this type of consciousness cannot sustain itself for much longer. Because everything is moving toward extreme polarities, undeniably many of the current systems, whether political, economic, religious, cultural, educational, medical, or environmental, are being pulled apart as antiquated paradigms collapse. We can see this most prominently in journalism, where no one knows what to believe anymore. Some of these changes reflect people's choices, while others reflect increasing levels of personal awareness. One thing is apparent, however. In this age of information, everything that is not in alignment with the evolution of this new consciousness is coming to the surface. If you aren't aware that there is an increase in frequency and energy occurring at this time, an increase in anxiety, tension, and passion, then you might not be paying attention to your own state of being and mankind's interconnectedness to this energy. In addition to the upheavals in our highly charged political, social, economic, and personal environments, many people also feel as if time is speeding up, or that more momentous happenings are occurring in a shorter amount of time. Depending on your outlook, this could be either an exciting time of awakening or an anxiety-inducing moment in history. Regardless, the old must fall away or break down so that something more functional can emerge in its place. This is how people, species, consciousness, and even the planet itself evolve. This excitement in energy, both within humans and nature, begs several questions. Could greater influences be at play that are affecting mankind's correlation to violence, war, crime, and terrorism, and conversely, peace, unity, coherence, and love? And is there a reason why all of this is happening at this particular time? The history of peace-gathering projects. To date, the power of temporary peace-gathering projects has been exhibited and thoroughly field-tested in more than 50 demonstration projects and 23 peer-reviewed scientific studies scrutinized by independent scholars around the world. The results have consistently demonstrated a positive effect in the immediate reduction of crime, warfare, and terrorism by an average of greater than 70%. Think about that for a moment. When a group of people come together with the specific intention or collective consciousness to change something or to produce an outcome, if they create it with the energy and emotions of peace, unity, or oneness, without physically doing anything, that unified community can produce changes 70% of the time. To quantify the results of these studies, scientists use a measurement called lead lag analysis. The purpose of lead lag analysis is to uncover correlations between people and incidents. For example, if you looked at the lead lag analysis of a chain smoker, it would show that the more a person smokes, the greater chance they will have of developing lung cancer. In relation to peace-gathering projects, the studies have found that the greater the number of meditators or peace-gatherers, combined with the amount of time they meditate, the greater influence the gathering has upon decreasing incidences of crime and violence in society. A powerful example is the Lebanon Peace Project, which brought together a group of meditators in Jerusalem in August and September of 1983. To demonstrate the radiating influence of peace. Although the number of meditators fluctuated over time, it was often large enough to achieve the super radiance effect for both Israel and nearby Lebanon. This effect happens when a group of specially trained meditators come together at the same time on a daily basis to create and radiate a positive effect on society. The results of the two-month study showed that on days when there was a high participation of meditators, a 76% reduction of war deaths occurred. Other effects included reduced crime and fires, decreased traffic accidents, less terrorism, and increases in economic growth. The results were then replicated in seven consecutive experiments over a two-year period during the peak of the Lebanon War. All of this was achieved simply by combining people's intentions for peace and coherence with the elevated emotions of love and compassion. This clearly demonstrates that the more unified the consciousness of a group of people within a specific elevated energy is, the more it can change the consciousness and energy of others in a non-local way. In what's considered one of the top three peace-gathering studies in the Western Hemisphere, the RAND Corporation think tank assembled a group of nearly 8,000, and sometimes more, trained meditators to focus on world peace and coherence during three periods ranging from 8 to 11 days each, from 1983 to 1985. The results showed that during this time, worldwide terrorism was reduced by 72%. Can you imagine the results and positive effects, as well as the speed with which they would occur if this type of meditation and mindfulness was part of the education curriculum? In still another study, this time in India from 1987 to 1990, 7,000 people gathered to focus on world peace. During that three-year period, the world witnessed remarkable transformations toward world peace. The Cold War ended, the Berlin Wall came down, the Iran-Iraq War came to an end, South Africa began to move towards abolishing apartheid, and terrorist attacks subsided. What surprised everyone was the swiftness with which these global changes occurred, all in a relatively peaceful manner. In 1993, from June 7th to July 30th, approximately 2,500 meditators gathered in Washington, D.C. in a highly controlled experiment to focus on peace and coherent energy. For the first 5 months of the year, violent crime had been steadily on the rise, yet soon after the study began, a significant statistical reduction in violence as measured by FBI uniform crime reports, crime and stress in Washington, D.C. began to occur. These results point to the fact that a relatively small group of people united in love and purpose can have a statistically significant effect on a diverse population. On September the 11th, 2001, due to the immediacy of global media, human beings all over the planet felt horror, shock, fear, terror, and grief as planes crashed into the New York City's World Trade Center, the Pentagon in Washington, D.C., and a field near Shanksville, Pennsylvania. In an instant, the world's collective consciousness tuned into this event. Powerful emotional outpourings around the globe occurred as people bonded, formed communities, and took care of one another. During the unfolding of events on 9/11, scientists at Princeton University's Global Consciousness Project were collecting data via the internet from more than 40 devices around the world. As data poured into a central server in Princeton, New Jersey, the scientists witnessed dramatic changes in the patterns in their random event generator. Think of a random event generator as a computerized coin toss. It's measuring heads or tails, or ones and zeros, so according to statistics, it should produce nearly 50-50 results. The dramatic changes in patterns right after the event caused the scientists to determine that the collective emotional response of people's outpouring was enough that it could actually be measured in the Earth's magnetic field. What all of these studies ultimately point to is that there's significant evidence that group meditations of the right size with skilled meditators who change their emotions and energy can influence and create non-local, measurable effects on peace and global coherence. If these peace-gathering projects are a force for coherence throughout a society, are there anti-theatrical forces that could be working against humans to produce incoherence? The Earth's relationship to solar cycles. As the Earth rotates daily on its axis, every morning the sun brings light to the darkness, warmth and comfort to the chill of night, photosynthesis to plants and security to humans. It's for this reason that as far back as 14,000 BCE, adoration of the sun has been sketched onto stone tablets and cave walls. Countless mythologies, including civilizations in ancient Egypt and Mesopotamia, the Mayans and the Aztecs, and the Australian Aborigines, to name just a few, have extolled the sun as worthy of worship, as well as a source of enlightenment, illumination, and wisdom. No matter the location, most cultures have recognized the sun as the prime controller of all life on Earth, because without it, life here could not exist. For the most part, humans are electromagnetic beings, entities that constantly send and receive messages via vibrational energies, whose bodies are made up of gravitationally organized light and information. In fact, everything material in this three-dimensional world is gravitationally organized light and information. Just as we are individual electromagnetic beings, we are but a small link in the chain of an electromagnetic world, the individual parts of which cannot be separated from the whole. On a grand scale, it is impossible to deny the interconnectivity between the sun's energy, the Earth's energy, and the energy of all living species. On a micro level, all you have to do is look at the life cycle of a fruit or vegetable to understand this interdependence. The vegetable or fruit begins as a seed when environmental conditions such as water, temperature, nutrient-rich soil, and photosynthesis conspire. These conditions enable the seed to germinate. Eventually, the blossom of the seed becomes an integral part of an ecosystem, as well as a source of sustenance and nourishment for various forms of life. This complex chain and delicate balance of events all begins with the Earth's uniquely situated location in our solar system, known as the circumstellar habitable zone, this is a range of orbital distance around a star, our Sun, in which a planet can support liquid water. While the Sun may be almost 93 million miles away, when it becomes active, it has significant consequences to life on Earth, because the Earth and the Sun are related by electromagnetic fields. The purpose of the Earth's electromagnetic field, see figure 13.1, is to protect it from the harmful effects of solar radiation and sunspots, cosmic rays, and other forms of space weather. Although not totally understood, sunspots are relatively dark, cool areas of the Sun, caused by interactions within the Sun's magnetic field. They can be up to 32,000 miles in diameter. You can think of sunspots as a cap on a seltzer bottle. If you shake the bottle and then remove the cap, it's going to produce a large release of photons, light, and other forms of high-frequency radiation. If it were not for the protection and insulation of Earth's electromagnetic fields, life as we know it could not exist, for we would be constantly bombarded by a steady stream of deadly particles. For example, when there are solar flares, the Earth's electromagnetic field protects the planet by deflecting trillions of tons of photonic emissions called mass coronal ejections. Mass coronal ejections are huge explosions of plasma and magnetic fields from the Sun's corona that can extend millions of miles into space. Their effects tend to reach the Earth an average of 24 to 36 hours after they occur. These ejections compress the Earth's field, heating the Earth's iron core. As this core becomes altered, it changes the planet's electromagnetic field. These ejections are part of solar cycles that occur approximately every 11 years, and they have the potential to disturb all living organisms on Earth. The recording of solar cycles began in 1755, but in 1915, an 18-year-old Russian boy named Alexander Chizhevsky took mankind's understanding of the Sun and its relation to the Earth to the next level when he spent his summer observing our Sun. During that summer, he began hypothesizing that periods of solar activity might have effects on the organic world. A year later, he entered World War I, and when not fighting for Russia, he again cast his observations towards the Sun. He noticed in particular that battles tended to wax or wane depending on the strength of solar flares. See graphic 14 in the color insert. Chizhevsky later compiled the histories of 72 countries from 1749 to 1926, comparing the annual number of important political and social events, such as the start of wars, revolutions, outbreaks of diseases and violence, with increased solar activity, demonstrating a correlation between the Sun's activity and human excitability. Equally interesting, solar activity has also been associated with great human flourishing, including innovations in architecture, science, the arts and social change. Every place where you see the red line spiking in the graphic represents an active solar flare or sunspot that occurred between the years 1750 and 1922. The blue lines represent historically important events that took place within the same period. Chizhevsky eventually determined that 80% of these countries' most significant events occurred during solar events and geomagnetic activity. The solar release of energy, which is always carrying information, seems to be in almost perfect coherence with the activities, the energy, and the consciousness of our planet. It just so happens that at the time of this writing, in 2017, we are in the midst of a very active solar cycle. In the past decade, much has been said about how this solar energy is affecting the planet and all of life that inhabits it. In 2012, doomsayers thought the end of the Mayan calendar, which correlates to the December solstice, meant the end of the world was at hand. Today, astrologers talk about the age of Aquarius, An astrological age is a period consisting of approximately 2,150 years that corresponds to the average time it takes for the vernal equinox to move from one constellation of the zodiac into the next, and how it will usher in a new awareness for humanity. Astronomers and cosmologists talk about galactic alignment, a rare astronomical event occurring every 12,960 years that brings the Sun into alignment with the center of the Milky Way galaxy. Regardless of what you believe, all of these occurrences point to solar cycles that increase the energy coming toward the Earth from the Sun. Since we are electromagnetic beings connected to the Earth through electromagnetic fields and shielded from the Sun by electromagnetic fields, this increase in energy from the Sun is going to change both the energy of the Earth and our personal energy. This means that this new energy has the potential to influence human beings in either positive or negative ways, depending on our individual energy. For example, if you are feeling separation, living by survival emotions, and enslaved to the hormones and chemicals of stress, your brain and heart are going to fire incoherently. This will cause your energy and awareness to become divided and out of balance, and the increase in energy from the Sun is going to enhance that state of being. Therefore, if you are living in incoherence, that incoherence is going to become amplified. By the same means, if you are living in the coherent alignment of head and heart, working daily in your meditations to connect to the unified field, and to overcome your limited beliefs and attitudes, you are going to be propelled even further into the truth and understanding of who you are and what your purpose is. The bottom line is that we are in the midst of an initiation, and it is going to take a tremendous amount of will, awareness, and consciousness to stay focused so as not to succumb to these excitable energies. If we can maintain our focus, then instead of being victims of the uncertainty, we can transmute this energy into greater degrees of orderliness, coherence, and even peace, both personally and globally. In the simplest terms, this energy is going to endorse who you are being, that is, how you are thinking and feeling. The Schumann Resonance. In 1952, German physicist and professor W. O. Schumann hypothesized that there were measurable electromagnetic waves in the atmosphere in the cavity or space between the Earth's surface and the ionosphere. According to NASA, the ionosphere is an abundant layer of electrons, ionized atoms and molecules that stretches from approximately 30 miles above the surface of the Earth to the edge of space, about 600 miles up. This dynamic region grows and shrinks, and further divides into subregions, based on solar conditions, and it's a critical link in the chain of Sun-Earth interactions. It's this celestial power station that makes radio communications possible. In 1954, Schumann and H.L. Koenig confirmed Schumann's hypothesis by detecting resonances at a main frequency of 7.83 Hz. Thus, the Schumann resonance was established by measuring global electromagnetic resonances generated and excited by lightning discharges in the ionosphere. You can think of this frequency as a tuning fork for life. In other words, it acts as a background frequency influencing the biological circuitry of the mammalian brain, the subconscious brain below the neocortex, which is also the home of the autonomic nervous system. The Schumann frequency affects our body's balance, health, and very nature as mammals. In fact, the absence of the Schumann resonance can cause serious mental and physical health issues in the human body. This was demonstrated through research by German scientist Rutger Weaver from the Max Planck Institute for Behavioral Physiology in Erlangen-Andechs, Germany. In the study, he took young, healthy student volunteers for 4 weeks at a time and placed them in hermetically sealed underground bunkers that screened out the Schumann frequency. Throughout the 4 weeks, the students' circadian rhythms changed, causing them to suffer emotional distress and migraine headaches. When Weaver introduced the Schumann frequency back into the bunkers, after only a brief exposure to 7.83 Hz, the volunteers' health returned to normal. As far back as we know, the Earth's electromagnetic field has been protecting and supporting all living things with this natural frequency pulsation of 7.83 Hz. You can think of the Schumann resonance as the Earth's heartbeat. The ancient Indian rishis referred to this as Om, or the incarnation of pure sound. Whether by coincidence or not, 7.83 Hz also happens to be a very powerful frequency used with brainwave entrainment, as is associated with low levels of alpha and the upper ranges of theta brainwave states. It is this range of brainwaves that allows us to get beyond the analytical mind and into the subconscious. Thus, this frequency has also been associated with high levels of suggestibility, meditation, increased human growth hormone levels, and increased cerebral blood flow levels. It appears then that the Earth's frequency and the brain's frequency have very similar resonances, and that our nervous system can be influenced by the Earth's electromagnetic field. Perhaps this is why getting out of the city and into nature often provides such a calming effect. The concept of emergence. In 1996, researchers at the HeartMath Institute discovered that when an individual's heart is in a state of coherence or harmonious rhythm, it radiates a more coherent electromagnetic signal into the environment, and that this signal can be detected by the nervous systems of other people as well as animals. In fact, as you know by now, the heart generates the strongest magnetic field in the body, and it can be measured several feet away. This provides a credible explanation for the fact that when someone walks into a room, you can feel or sense that individual's mood or emotional state, independent of their body language. From a purely scientific standpoint, we can then ask, if this phenomenon works on an individual level, can it work on a global level? In 2008, more than a decade later, the HeartMath Institute launched the Global Coherence Initiative, GCI, a science-based, international effort that seeks to help activate the heart of humanity to promote peace, harmony, and a shift in global consciousness. GCI is based on the beliefs that 1. Human health, thoughts, behaviors, and emotions are influenced by solar, geomagnetic, the Earth's magnetic field, activity. 2. The Earth's magnetic field is a carrier of biologically relevant information that connects all living systems. 3. All human beings influence the Earth's electromagnetic field of vital information. 4. Collective human consciousness, where large numbers of people are intentionally focused on heart-centered states, creates or affects the global information field. Therefore, elevated emotions of care, love, and peace can generate a more coherent field environment that can benefit others and help offset the current planetary discord and incoherence. Because human heart rhythm and brain frequencies, as well as cardiovascular and autonomic nervous systems, overlap with the Earth's resonance field, GCI scientists suggest we are part of a biological feedback loop in which we not only receive relevant biological information from the field, but we also feed information into this field. In other words, human thoughts, consciousness, and emotions, energy, interact with and encode this information into the Earth's magnetic field, and this information is then distributed on carrier waves, a signal on which the information is impressed or carried around the globe. To further their research and test this hypothesis, using state-of-the-art sensors located in various locations around the globe, the HeartMath Institute created the Global Coherence Monitoring System, GCMS, to observe changes in the Earth's magnetic field. Designed to measure global coherence, the GCMS uses a system of highly sensitive magnetometers to continuously measure magnetic signals that occur in the same range as human physiological frequencies, including our brain and cardiovascular systems. They also continuously monitor activity caused by solar storms, flares, and solar wind speed activity.